Welcome to the Kosaka Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Stead.
Welcome to another episode of the Kosaka Show, where we look ahead to the start of the Kosaka Cup in Nelson Mandela Bay, which will get underway on Tuesday. It's a welcome return for the region. Their flagship competition is back after last day's event was cancelled because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
We'll also hear from the Senegal camp as their head of delegation, Sam Diatta, updates us on the progress of the West African nation, who will debut in the Kosaka event and hope to become the first guest team to lift the trophy. Nelson Mandela Bay Deputy Mayor Lukolo Ngameti shares his thoughts on the competition.
But first we speak to Dr. Tulani Ngwenya, who's the head of the medical department at the South African Football Association and a man who's done much to create the protocols for football to continue in the region during the current pandemic. He explains how a competition like the Kosaka Cup can go ahead during this third wave of infections that we are seeing in South Africa.
Dr. Ngwenya, welcome and many thanks for your time. Many listeners have been wondering how a tournament such as the Kosaka Cup is safely staged during the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you summarize for us the measures that have been put in place to safeguard the players and the team officials?
Thank you very much, Nick. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to come and explain the medical aspects of football medicine. You are touching on a very important aspect, especially in the era that we are living at, especially the times that we are living at right now, the times of COVID-19. Here in South Africa, we are actually right now experiencing the third wave, which is said to be caused by the Delta variant. And we are now at alert level 4 because of the transmission that we are actually seeing. It seemed to actually be more transmissible than the Beta variant that we have seen before. However, COVID is within us. It seems like COVID is going to be here for some time, but we still need to thrive within COVID. That is why, as the medical department, we have to put measures in place to make sure that football is still played within a safe environment. Now, for the COSAFA this year of 2021, we have employed almost the same protocols as the previous tournament that we have had last year. And we are going into a biosafe environment. So when we're talking about a biosafe environment, we are talking about, in a layman's term, thinking if you think of an island, we are talking about something like that. So in order for you to go into that island firstly is going to be sanitized, deep cleaned, and we're going to ensure that everyone that goes into that island has to be screened, has to test, and has to be cleared before they go into the island. So how do we test? We test 72 hours before we go into the island, which is called the bio bubble, which will be in PE. And when we are within the bubble, the measures that are in place is that everyone will have to have their masks on. Everyone will have to sanitize. That is why all hotels that are identified are solely identified and are going to accommodate our athletes that will be competing. And in each and every hotel, we've already discussed with the hotel management in terms of how they actually need to take care of the athletes and how they need to go to serve food. Because we know that under the level four regulation, it says that restaurants are closed, so including the restaurant at the hotel. So the way it's going to be served is in a form of packages. So it's going to be takeaway packages. Each compliance officer from each team will make sure that they take the food for their team as a takeaway from the kitchen to be served in the different rooms for the athletes. So that's the first part about the food. The second part is the part of the game now. In each game, we are going to make sure that we don't have more than 100 people in the stadium. That includes athletes, that includes COSAFA staff, that includes medics, that includes media. So everyone that is going to be there is going to be within the number of 100. There's no spectators allowed. So everyone that is coming to the stadium, including the bubble, would have been actually screened and tested. So we spoke initially about the island. Island, it means that all COSAFA people, all athletes, competing athletes, all volunteers, drivers, everyone that will be coming into the bubble would have been tested 72 hours before they come. And then the results would be sent to me to check and then verify and make sure that everything is fine before they actually come in. And then when they are now within the bubble, we're still going to have more testing done. Within the bubble, after the first round of games, that is the group stages, we'll test everyone again for the second time. So that we make sure that everyone is still clean and safe. The second thing is that after that, the quarterfinals going into the semis, we will retest again for the third time, making sure that everyone is safe. And after the games, we'll also do the exit test, which is the fourth round of testing, to make sure that everyone, when they are going home, they are not carriers and they don't have the virus, so that they can actually, so to prevent it from, to prevent them from spreading it to their family. So what happens then in case of a COVID positive? No, before we go to a COVID positive, to a person showing symptoms, because each team will have to have a compliance officer, which is preferably the medical doctor. COSAFA has made it a compulsory thing that every team that is participating should have a medical doctor as part of the team delegation. That is compulsory and non-negotiable. And we have made sure that even the compliance officers should have some medical background. So it's preferable that the doctors become compliance officers as well. So every compliance officer is going to be responsible for their own team in terms of screening on a daily basis, and they'll be submitting those reports to me in terms of what is happening. So should we have any of the people within the bubble showing signs or symptoms of COVID, any symptom or sign, that person will be immediately isolated and will do a test to find out whether they are COVID positive or not. Fortunately, we have employed a new and faster way of doing it. We're going to do a rapid antigen test there and there, which is a monitoring test. If the rapid test is positive, then we're going to do a PCR to confirm the rapid test, because rapid test, you can't make a diagnosis based on a rapid test, but it gives you an indication to say this is most likely suggestive of COVID. And then we do a PCR. If the PCR is positive, then that person is going to move from that area and go in quarantine for 10 days in a site that we have identified as a quarantine site within the bubble, but it's in another area, but within the bubble. So those are the measures that I can think of from the top of my head. One other important measure that we have also put in place in case we have emergencies. We have also spoken to the emergency services about the importance of an automated external defibrillator, because we need it in case of a sudden cardiac arrest, because we understand that when you have had COVID, or if you are recovering from COVID, and then you go and play, there's a risk of you having cardiac arrest, because COVID can cause myocarditis. Myocarditis is an inflammation of your heart muscles. So that we are cognizant of, and then we have put measures in. I hope I've tried to summarize the concept of the biobubble.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Nguyenye. That's brilliant. I was actually going to ask you about the cardiac arrest situation, you know, given what happened to Christian Eriksen, although we don't know the full facts around that, but just, there's a suspicion there, but you've answered that for me already. So yourself and staff have really been at the forefront of developing, you know, safe to play COVID regulations for football in the region, I think you could say. I know a lot of countries are lending from your expertise. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to play such a prominent role?
So I'm a sports and exercise physician and currently the chief medical officer of South African Football Association. So that then means that everything that is medical, it's me that is supposed to take the lead, but also under the leadership of the CEO and the leadership of staff. So we all know that last year, after the lockdown, I think we had level 3 of lockdown in South Africa. And we had a situation where now the professionals league had to finish because of the contractual obligations of the athletes. And yet at the same time, we're at hard lockdown. We couldn't do anything because the state president had pronounced that we shouldn't have any gathering whatsoever. So we had to actually think of something because professionals league was now under serious pressure because of the contractual obligations that they had. And then they requested SAFA to sit together and put together a COVID a protocol that will allow football to play. Remember, in fact, it was not PSL, it was the government, because PSL had said they went to the government to say they want to play, and government said, give us a protocol that you think will make it safe for you to actually go play. So we had a series of meetings between SAFA and the Professionals League, and then that meeting came and put together a committee of individuals from both sides, Professionals League and SAFA, to put together this COVID compliance plan. And that committee further then tasked myself from SAFA side as the chief medical officer, and Dr. Lee Pillay from the PSL to also put together. Then I then invited other doctors who are doctors from clubs, who are doctors at other codes like cricket, rugby, to come together and help us put together the protocol. So I was mostly taking the lead in terms of how we're putting it together. But it was not my idea alone. It was a collective idea of all these brains of doctors who came together and put together the protocol. So the protocol was meant to balance between livelihood and well-being. Because as medics, we come from the side of making sure that the well-being of our people is taken care of. So first and foremost to us as medics, as much as we are in sport, is to make sure that the lives of our people are preserved. We shall not do harm. That's the oath that we took. So our responsibilities with the people. But here we need then to put a balance together with the livelihood, because with the contract finishing and with the dates approaching of contractual obligations, then it meant that people will lose jobs, people will not be able to be paid. So it was quite a sensitive matter when it comes to their livelihood. So we did that. We worked tirelessly overnight. We worked for days putting together. Fortunately, I must state also upfront that the Premier League had also already started working on the protocol. So when we came together, we said maybe the Professionals League must submit that protocol, that we don't start from scratch, we start working from there, so that we make it a more comprehensive and a protocol that one would actually easily accept and grant permission when we actually submit to government. So we put together that protocol, and fortunately that protocol was then adopted by both the League and SAFA, and that protocol was then submitted to government, and the government really endorsed it to say it's a brilliant protocol. And that protocol was also submitted to CAF and FIFA and especially and COSAFA as well, and it was granted. It was granted permission. In fact, FIFA said it is a brilliant protocol, and they gave so much accolades to the people who put together the protocol. And I want to state today that some of the protocol, some of the things that are in the protocol from both CAF and FIFA are extracts from our protocol that we have actually put together. So that gave us some sort of satisfaction to say at least there's something that is good that we are doing. And over and above that, we need to also state categorically that we are also proud that we are the first people or group of people, or the first country, South Africa, to actually put together such a concept of a biological safe environment, and then we implemented. And I also want to state that it is easier to put together a concept, but implementation is a problem. So I want to also applaud the people who actually had to implement the protocol from the Professionals League. They did an exceptional job. I was there, part of the biobubble, overseeing everything as well, as the compliance officer of South African football. Everything was done to the T, and we are pleased to announce that everything, it was successful. At that time, we did not know much about COVID, but yet we managed to put together such a concept. So this is an experience that I can't actually trade it for anything, and it actually helped us to learn from that experience, so that when we do other protocols, when we host other tournaments, then we can actually build up from there and make it better and better. Like I said at the beginning, COVID is within us. We need to find a way of thriving within COVID and still continue with our lives.
We are joined now by Sam Diatta, who is head of delegation for the Senegal side that will contest the 2021 CASAFA Cup. Senegal are the top-ranked side in Africa and have a history of developing some of the leading players to come out of the continent. They'll add an extra element of skill and flair in Nelson Mandela's Bay as this year's guest nation. Sam, welcome. How excited are the Senegal team to compete at the CASAFA Cup, and why did the Senegalese Football Federation see this as an important competition to take part in?
Hello, my friend. It's already a pleasure, always a pleasure for a country to participate to a tournament like this, and especially CASAFA. We have never been playing this tournament in South Africa, and another reason is a pleasure for me, I myself, to be in South Africa, my second homeland, I may say, because I know that place very well. I have been going there with a lot of friends, just like Jomo Sono, Serame, Bane Kujane. Those people are my friends. So when we received this invitation to play this tournament in South Africa, it was a great pleasure for everybody here. Our president, our FA president, is the second vice president, the first vice president of CAF. And Mosepe is the president of CAF as well. So that is really a link of relationship that push people to participate, to accept the invitation and to be part of this tournament. So it's only a great honor, for us, for all of us, for the country, for all people here to be in CASAFA, because we know it's a tournament, a very, 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 very high tournament. It's, we have been following this tournament for years ago, but we know that it's a really a very good tournament, and it will expose our players, our young players, to face with players from South African scouts.
Yeah, you mentioned their young players. I believe the squad will be mostly home-based players with a few exciting youngsters. Is this correct?
Yeah, for sure, we have very, very young players coming from to play this tournament. Because, as you know, in Senegal right now, it remains only four games to end the league. And it was really a tough situation to release players and play and clubs fighting for champions, the others fighting for relegation, and the second divisions fighting for promotion, and those fighting to win the FA Cup in order to be African next season did not want to release the players. So the coach did not have a lot of possibility to get players. So what we have to do is just to take players, not key players we need, but we have players as well to face to play a good tournament in South Africa. But know that, not the key players we hope to bring in South Africa, but we try to get young players, very talented players, players who can, represent this country really in a high level and to go far in the tournament.
And you have Namibia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique in your pool. Is the team confident that, as you say, as they can progress to the semifinals?
So a guest must be hungry. And, my country, my players are hungry right now, because we like this kind of situation, being invited. it and go and take the trophy. So we're not coming as tourists, you know, we're coming to fight, to play and to show people that no matter how, even if no matter player they bring there, they will show the image of Senegal. And you know, in Senegal, talent is not a question. Players are talented, you know, so many players, talented players. You can take even four teams and take them to South Africa and represent really the country in that tournament. So we are going as a hungry team and going to show people that we can do something really good, and we can even go to the final. But the first thing is we're going to represent this country good. We're going to play really good ball, and yes, we are going to fight and to, if possible, to take a trophy. That's not going to just like tourists and come back, you know. But, you know, football is football. You know, we can have our objective, our aim, but things happen somehow. But our focus is going far, far there to this tournament, and even if go to the final and if possible, take the trophy.
And you spoke there about the league having four rounds left before it finishes. How has Senegalese domestic football fared through the COVID-19 pandemic? Has there been a lot of disruptions?
Yeah, it's just like everywhere in the world. The worldwide, you know, suffers from this pandemic, COVID-19. So it was tough, difficult for everybody. We just playing with the lockdown and play outdoor, closed door. So it was tough for players, for everybody, for fans, for clubs. And financially, it was difficult. But we managed to lead the league until now. So it remains only four games. It means that we did a lot of work and good work, and people, you know, just were together and faced with the situation. And now this is the situation. It's not specific to Senegal. It's around the world and everywhere in the world. So that's why we just make it possible and try and do all our best to handle out. But, you know, it was very difficult, you know, financially, because sponsor and the partners did not respond. So yeah, it was tough, really tough. But anyway, the league is now over. It just remains four games to the end. So it means that a big work have been done. So today we happy for this and players as well, you know, and everything is all right now.
And this Senegal national team is made up of so many great players, the current one now, and of course in the past. Someone like Sadio Mane is—he's loved all across Africa for what he's done at Liverpool, and I should imagine he's a big hero back in Senegal. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, Sadio Mane is a present. That's like happy, you know, a day or happy birthday, and the father bring a present to it. So Sadio Mane is a present of Senegal. You know, a player like Sadio Mane is not only as a sport result, but this boy is doing something tremendous in Senegal. You know, a few days ago, a week ago, he was just inaugurating a hospital he built here for the population. And this boy know where he came from. So that's why people love him. They love him not because he's a good player, a great player, and not because he's doing something very, very well, exciting in Liverpool, but simply because as well he is doing something socially in Africa, in Senegal, mainly in part where he was born. So we are really we're praying for him to go further again and to make a very, very brilliant career, because what he is doing, no one did it before here. So Sadio Mane really is a present for Senegal. He's just like I don't know how to qualify it, but you know, this boy is really someone we love. Everybody loves him here. Everybody loves him here. He's doing something. He's helping poor people. He's helping people who are going to hospital. He's going in school as well. He's giving some material for schools. He's building school. He's building hospital. So no word to express myself. No word to express the joy that I feel by talking about Sadio Mane.
And of course, he will be hoping to take Senegal to Africa Cup of Nations glory. Perhaps in Cameroon early next year. You know, Senegal, for the array of talented players that they have produced down the years, have not actually won the Nations Cup before, despite coming very close, including in 2019, of course. With so much talent, is that something that weighs a bit on the football, do you think? Do fans feel like it's coming?
This is a very big equation no one can solve till now, because we are thinking about this one. As what you said, we know we have talented players. Every year, we have every generation of Senegal is here. But the question is, how and why can't we take this trophy? African Trophy Cup of Nations? This is a big, big equation no one can answer. I don't know. Is that to say, in one word, talent does not make performance for me, because there is something else that we have here. We are working on it. We are all working on the organization, because now our team, our football is well organized, logistic, everything is okay. We know Safa even for when we travel, we have a direct flight. We never take, you know. So we have everything. We put everything down to get this trophy, because this is what we are working on. But till now, we cannot get this trophy. Why and how? Why? We don't know. No one knows. Some people are thinking of maybe, I don't know, you know, among us, people are maybe wicked. They don't want the team to win. But I'm not sure that this one is the reason. I think we are closer to the trophy. It will come when, I don't know. But we are closer to hold the trophy, to take it. And very, very sure, hopefully, it will be maybe next African Cup of Nations. This is my hope. I don't know, but this is my hope. So we are really working on this to win the trophy. But I have to tell you that, you know, talent is not because of talent that you have to win some to make performance. Talent, okay, is okay, but there are some other parameters that can allow you to take some trophies that maybe we did not find till now, but we are working on it to know the solution, to have a solution.
Next up is Nelson Mandela Bay Deputy Mayor Glukolo Namete, who says hosting the CASAFA Cup will be a big boost for the city seeking to become one of South Africa's premier sporting destinations. He spoke to our colleague Balili Mnyandu.
We've been hosting CASAFA tournaments, and the last one last year, it was at the height of COVID last year, and you're coming back this year. Why is it important for you to host this tournament?
It is very important for us to have this tournament, because one of the other things that we are happy about, this is not only the opportunity for the tournament, also it will boost our economy as a city. You must remember we've been under lockdown for quite some time, so the city has been struggling to grow in terms of the economy. Now this is the opportunity that the city will not miss, so we are happy and excited for this kind of an opportunity.
And I think that's a very serious statement that you're making, because watching and arriving at this hotel yesterday, not a single car, and it's so unlike Summer Street.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's high time that we start to build our life, even under lockdown. But there are measures that are put in place by government to make sure that there's a life after COVID. And there are other platforms that the supporters could watch this kind of competition. But we are excited, I must say.
And in terms of what is this tournament done, or coming with CASAFA done for you here? Because from starting with the women's competition, there's been consistency in terms of having CASAFA events. And I'm sure this is something that you want to take into the future as well.
Yes. You know, as a city, we want to say that since the hosting of these tournaments, we've seen that a lot of people are starting to get motivated over this. I was in Motherwell, one of the townships of the city. I saw football competitions there, meaning therefore this competition is an inspiration to young people out there. So we are happy that this competition is coming into the city.
And I'm sure you're going to be jealous about it. You'll not want to see other African cities taking over it going forward.
Yes, we must make sure that we defend it, so that it will be our point of reference to say, this is our competition as Nelson Mandela, and we're proud of it.
Another point that you mentioned, you said you're not going to compromise.
Yes.
In terms of the COVID-19 protocols.
Remember, last year, the city was the epicenter of COVID-19. We don't want to see ourselves on that position again. That's why we've taken a stand to say we take a zero tolerance in terms of non-compliance. Everyone that is coming to the city must be able to comply with the COVID-19 regulations. Hence, we are saying as a city, all the time, people must wear their mask, maintain social distance, and also sanitize regularly. We don't play about that.
That's it for another episode of the Kasafa Show. We look forward to the start of the Kasafa Cup next week with what looks to be an open field with plenty of experimental squads selected and young players who've been given the opportunity to showcase their talent on the big stage.
Don't forget you can listen to more of our podcasts on Sokolo Duma Radio, Kasafa.tv, Spotify and iTunes. And you can also get the latest news via our website at www.kasafa.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and TikTok.
Goodbye.